Hey, it's Scott Petrek with another episode of the Brown Zone Coverage Podcast. Some news came out of the league meetings this week in Orlando, and much of the discussion has been about the future of the stadium. The Browns also brought back kicker Cade York. Here to discuss, as always, is Dave Chudowski of Go, the WKYC Morning News. What's going on, Chud?
Hey, Scott, I think we said at the very end last week that we might have to jump on this week because we mentioned the stadium talk might get brewing and get going, and sure enough, it did, along with some other stuff. So looks like we got option A and we have option B, huh?
Yeah, I think we should go option A. So, I mean, it's about the stadium, right? And I was texting some guys today, some of my buddies, and I know we've touched on it a little bit, but the Haslam said it was down to two things. It's either renovate the stadium on the current site, on the lakefront, for about $1 billion, it might even be more than that, $1 billion with a B, or build a stadium, a dome stadium, outside of the city. They didn't narrow it down to Brook Park, but they have the option to buy, I think it's 176 acres of land in Brook Park over there by Snow Road, or on Snow Road by the airport. So it's either renovate downtown or build a new dome stadium, which is probably at least twice as much money to build the dome stadium, but it's a dome, it's new. They could do, you know, entertainment around it, right? Hotels, restaurants, parking around it. So those are the two options, Chud. So I guess first I want to ask you, like, what do you think is a better option?
Well, before I answer that, where does the money come from?
Right. Well, this is going to be way too simplified, but I think we can work under the premise of, regardless of if it's renovation or new, the Haslams pay for half, and then the other half is tax money. And it's a combination of whatever city they're in, or municipality, county, and state, right? So if it's at the state, if it's on the lakefront, let's say the Haslams put in $500 million, and then it's Cleveland, Cuyahoga County, and the state figure out the other $500 million. And at Brook Park, it would be twice all those numbers. I think it's probably, I'm sure it's way more complicated than that, but I think that's a safe way for us to have this discussion.
All right. So my answer would probably be this. I would go with option C, which would be a dome downtown, right? But since that's not on the table, I think I'm leaning B. And I think I mentioned this when we talked about this before. In my younger years, I would have said, no, I want the cold weather to be a factor. I want the stadium downtown because, you know, it's better for the city. It's Cleveland. You know, growing up, we had the Coliseum out in Richfield, and I just thought it was so much – I enjoyed it out in Richfield. I didn't hate it. It was a longer drive, but I still went to Cavs games, right? I mean, if you're a Cavs fan, you did it. But I thought it was much better when they moved downtown. So I do kind of hate leaving downtown. But with what it would do for the image of Cleveland and the city and what it would bring in, I mean, we're talking potential Super Bowl, right? We're talking potential Final Four, so many more concerts, plus all the stuff that would be built around it. I just think that would be incredible for that area. And I just don't feel like, I don't know, I just don't feel like the weather is such an advantage for the Browns anymore. Like, I felt like in the 80s it was, right? When those teams came in and Kozar and those days, I mean, it felt like the cold weather, to me anyway, was such a big difference. I just don't feel like it is anymore. I don't have the answer as to why. Maybe just because they haven't been really good since they've been back in 99. But I think that even the way this team is built, I think that maybe they could succeed better inside a dome. And, you know, I know there's the turf grass element, which I really won't get into, but I guess, you know, I'm not saying I'm like married to this answer, but I think I go option B, and I want the dome answer. What about you?
Yeah, it's so difficult, Chud. And for me, I'm with you on the outdoor-indoor thing that used to seem like a big deal. Now, you know, you're paying a ton of money to go to watch these games. I'm not, right? I'm in the press box. But people pay a ton of money to go to these games. You know, if you're forking down, you know, whatever. I mean, a day at the game could be easily $1,000, right? Tickets and parking and beer and all that. So If you're spending that, and I don't think that's I mean, I've seen what the season ticket costs, so I don't think that's a crazy number to say. So if you're spending $1,000, it could for you, right? You're taking three kids or your wife and two kids, whatever, three buddies. Before you go into the game, it's going to cost $1,000. Do you want to sit out in 20 degrees in hail or freezing rain? No. So from that perspective, I think you're better off in the dome. I do think there's some, like there's a tiny part of me that says yes to tradition and it's Cleveland and it's outside. But that doesn't really matter in Detroit where they have a dome. It doesn't matter in Indianapolis where they have a dome. Buffalo is still outside. So I get that argument, but I don't think that's a big deal. That's to me, that's not a deciding factor. I think grass is a bigger factor when you have so many players talk about the player safety issue, and grass is better than turf. And it feels like it's going to be hard to roll in natural grass in this climate inside the dome. Now, maybe they will, and maybe they'll figure it out. And maybe that is a non, it doesn't matter. So it doesn't have to be a discussion point. But I do think grass is on this, it's on this list of pros and cons for me somewhere, and it's higher than just the tradition of playing outside. But my main, I keep coming back to the money, and $1 billion is $1 billion, and that's a ton of money, right? So let's call it 2.4 to build a dome in Brook Park. Like, that's obviously more than twice as much money. Where does that come from? And I talked about the taxes and the Haslams, but there's a lot of issues in Northeast Ohio, right? That money could be spent other places. And if it's just, okay, you're going to have to spend $1 billion, period. Well, then the extra billion or billion four, billion, whatever it winds up being, to have a dome, can't you do some good with that? And I know half it would be the Haslams. And I get the complexities of this, but that's a lot of taxpayer money being spent on a facility that's half owned by a family. Right, that family's probably going to get a lot of the benefits of owning that stadium or being partial owners of that stadium, and the money that's brought in around it from if that's hotels or parking, whatever. I would have to see a better breakdown because that money, those I have sticker shock thinking about the numbers and the difference. I do like the fact that it's on the lake, the tradition of that, the fact that it would be in the city still, I think is important. So for me, the dome, I guess my default is renovate the stadium, keep it where it's been. It'll be gorgeous. You spend $1 billion. Jimmy Haslam said you wouldn't even be able to recognize it. So it could feel like a new stadium. For the dome to swing it, right? For the dome to convince me, it would have to be, you'd have to guarantee me that there would be a ton of events that would be able to be held at this thing. And that the town would get Final Fours, and that there would be at least one Super Bowl, and the Big Ten championship would come, and all these events that would come here instead of going to Detroit or instead of going to Indianapolis or Minnesota, right? All these cold weather cities that have domes, they don't get Final Fours every time, all the time, right? They're not getting big events all the time. So, and I do believe in David Gilbert and the sports commission. I think they do a great job, but you would have to sell me on the fact that this would be a boon for the economy and a boon for the region, and I'm skeptical about that.
Yeah, you make some great points there. I can't argue, and I think you're right. I mean, we're reacting to something that we haven't had a ton of time to really think about, and I think you're right. I think you'd have to break down the numbers. Like, I guess I'd have to see how much each taxpayer or
Yeah.
and maybe Scott, this might be a dumb question. So if it's in Brook Park, is it going to be everyone in Cuyahoga County, or is it just going to be people that live in that
Yeah.
city alone? Like, how does that break down?
No, that's a great question. I think the chunk of it outside the city would come from Cuyahoga County tax and state tax or state budgets, at least, right? It would come out of their budgets. But I do think from a Brook Park's perspective, I think what happens is that city or that municipality takes out long-term loans and says, we're going to generate so much tax money that that's how we're going to be able to finance whatever chunk of the dome that Brook Park would have to pay for. And then they would recoup those taxes through, I don't know if it would be a like a sales tax hike in Brook Park, which feels probably more likely to me, is you tax the crap out of the hotels that you wind up building around the stadium, right? You tax the crap out of the parking lots that you build around the stadium, right? And there's probably have to be negotiations there. Does the city get those taxes? I'm sure the city would get the taxes, but do the Haslams control the parking around there? Do they control the land around there? Like, those are the deep level discussions. But I think that's how Brook Park would have to plan to get the money back, is by hefty taxes on dome specific events. And that would be, like I said, hotel, entertainment, parking.
Yeah. And there's no doubt. And I know, like, I mean, listen, we're all in the same boat, right? I mean, my mortgage is way different right now than it was even a couple of years ago because of taxes and different things that have happened. So I get everyone's going to have a different opinion, too, on how it affects them individually. And you're right. I mean, I could see it going both ways on the lakefront. You could have a beautiful new building and you keep it downtown. Or, I mean, so I'm guessing, and again, how much information is out there, Scott? I know what I saw. I haven't dug deep, though. Like, would they knock down the old stadium? Like, what would happen to that area?
Yeah. Well, the Haslam's hope is that if it doesn't happen at the stadium, at the current site, right? And they kept saying that either one's a possibility. They haven't decided. They're open to both. But they did say that if they moved out of the city, that the lakefront property would have to be, or their goal would be for that to be part of a bigger lakefront development, right? And that's why this is more, you know, I keep using complicated, but that's why this whole discussion is even more complicated, because the renovation would be part of a downtown a downtown redevelopment, right? Better use of the lakefront, the land bridge, all the things we've been hearing about forever and that Cleveland has been so bad about, right? That we just don't use the lakefront well enough. And this stadium sits on a prime piece of real estate that if it wasn't there anymore, that it would have to be part of a development. And whether that's shopping or restaurants or, you know, residential, Dee and Jimmy's Haslam's hopes is that that piece of land would become part of that. So, you know, I don't think they'd give up on the city if they moved. You know, I think they would still be involved with that. They talk about, you know, how they want so much for the city of Cleveland, and I believe them when they say that. And that is a really valuable piece of property. So it would have to be part of this development. And but you would hope that just because the Browns moved, that all of a sudden any momentum that's built to fix up the lakefront and take better advantage of it doesn't fall apart because, you know, the Haslams aren't still there.
Yeah, there's so many cities that utilize their lakefront so much better than we do. And that's something we all know that needs to happen. So if they did go to Brook Park and you had a dome, you'd have that brand new area, and then you'd have a revitalized lakefront. That'd be pretty cool. You'd have two things that would be just make your city better. Now, on the flip side, Scott, I can't argue or think people are wrong to say, you know, there are people out there that, you know, tailgating and the pregame and the postgame is just as big of a deal as the game itself.
Yeah.
And or to a lesser degree, just below it. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, we know how big of a deal that is to these fans.
Yeah, I mean, how many memories do you have of walking over the bridges, right? Or making that walk when it was, you know, when the Guardians played there back in the day, right, on the lakefront? Yeah, obviously, then we're called the Indians. Well, making that walk down West 3rd, all those walks you made, and it would just be different. And, you know, if you're 15, you probably don't care, you're 10 or whatever. But if you're our age, or, you know, I'm a little older than you, but not much, it would be different. It'd be going to a place and it'd be, you know, parking your car and tailgating the car and then walking to the stadium because you're in a giant parking lot right around the new stadium, right? And that's kind of how it is in Kansas City. Kansas City, you drive to this place. I think it's still in Kansas City proper, but it's away from downtown. And there's a million cars, and it's the baseball stadium and the football stadium. Million cars, giant parking lot, smells like barbecue, smells great. But it's just a different experience, right? What happens in the Muni lot? Do people still go to the Muni lot? Maybe for a while, but then that would have to fade away. So it's tough. I mean, it's tough. It's really different, and it's especially different if, you know, you grew up only knowing the Browns on the lakefront.
Yeah, no question. Excellent points there. I guess the bottom line is, though, something's going to happen, right? I mean, is it 2028? Is that when it's up?
Yeah, that's when the lease is up. Now, I hasn't said that they could extend it if they needed to. And I think you'd extend it if you're building a dome and it's taking too long to build the dome, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, it feels like it has to – the decision has to be made by the end of this year. That's the momentum I sense, is they want to have a decision made and probably funding in place to get started on whatever, because the renovation is going to take years. They think they can play while they're doing it. You know, I mean, play in the fall and still renovate in the off seasons. You know, and obviously a dome would take years to build. So, you know, yeah, I think the goal is to have that decided by the end of this year, if possible.
What are you reading from emails, fan feedback, social media? Which direction have you been sensing it going as far as fans feel?
Yeah, I mean, this is a very unscientific, but it feels like the dome to me. And I don't know if that's if there's influences there, right? Like, you know, maybe people on social media are pushing that, or, but that's the sense I get. And just, you know, an unofficial, like, text, I'm on this thread with 10 guys or whatever. And, you know, everybody almost, it was almost unanimous for a dome. So, obviously that doesn't speak for everybody. And, you know, I don't think any of those people actually live in the city of Cleveland. So that probably, right? So, you know, I mean, they live in, you know, Avon Lake or Rocky River, right? So that probably affects how you think about it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure it does, right? Especially if you're not even in the county, it affects you more. I don't think any of the people on the east side whose drive would get longer, right? If it's in Brook Park, not a ton longer, but it would get longer, you know, if you're coming from Euclid or Lyndhurst or Chardon or Mentor, right? So, I think it probably leans dome. I don't know how heavily it leans dome.
Yeah.
You know, if you live in the city of Cleveland, do you think that, you know, do you think that spending that much money is wise? Or do you think that the fact that it's no longer in your city, that you lose out on the revenue from people going downtown, right? Like, all those things are probably above my head. I would need to study more of the, you know, that high level economics. So I do think all that matters into how people view it.
Anything else on the stadium before we move on?
No, I'm good there.
All right. Another thing we talked about last week, and we do not have an answer, but we are thinking it's getting close, but we still don't know about that game in Brazil, correct?
Yeah.
We do know it's down to the Browns and Packers. Is that right, though?
Yeah, Browns and Packers. That's always been, since the combine, that's what I was hearing at the combine. And then the Packers president said it at the owners meeting. So, yeah, it's Cleveland or Green Bay. Roger Goodell said the team does matter. You know, it's one of the factors. I think, you know, I've read somewhere that Green Bay has a big backing in Brazil. Green Bay is pretty popular everywhere, I think. Now, the Browns are too, right? The Browns have, we know the Browns backers are everywhere. So I don't know how it's going to play out. You know, for a while I thought it was the Browns. Now I'm kind of leaning Green Bay, but you know, I think we'll probably know. It sounds like it's not coming Friday. You know, we're taping this Thursday afternoon. It sounds like it's going to wait till next week, but I would think early next week.
So that was my next question. Do you have a gut feel, or it sounds like you're going Green Bay?
Yeah, I'm going to go Green Bay, but maybe part of that's because it would be easier. You know, a little, I'm trying to wish it into existence, because I probably would not go to Brazil. I'd have to convince the company to go to Brazil. You know, it's just all that, right? Passport, visa, you know, time change. I mean, it's a long flight, all that. Or even if I don't go, then the team leaves for 5 days and it's right before the season and you'd like to have them around and it's week one, you'd like to be there, all those things. So maybe that's a little wishful thinking on me leaning toward Green Bay.
Once again, it's about perspective.
Right,
perspective.
That's exactly right, buddy.
Yeah. I just have this feeling. I was thinking about it the other day, and I just feel like, you know, NFC showdown between the Eagles and Packers, and just the Packers seem to get more national spotlight than the Browns do, and obviously that's they've won a lot more than we have here since we've come back. Well, Sky, as far as the owners meeting goes, I don't know if there's anything else you want to hit, but one thing I found interesting and not surprised at all, the NFL is just taking over Christmas. I mean, a Wednesday is Christmas this year, and they found a way to have Christmas games. I mean, it's no longer the day of the NBA. The NFL has taken over.
Yeah, they really have. And, you know, I think it started a couple years ago where NFL said, we're just going to go head-to-head with the NBA, one big time. And then they just can't – and I mean, I understand it, but the money is just too great. And the NFL looks at it as a chance to make a ton of money and sell these standalone games for big bucks to whoever's the highest bidder. Because it feels like they're separate than just the regular broadcast deals, right? With CBS and NBC and ESPN, it feels like these standalone games command extra money from whomever. And, you know, they're going to have two games. And they've always said that they weren't going to rearrange the schedule. Like if it's Wednesday, they weren't going to play on a Christmas on Wednesday. Well, they changed their mind because it's just too much money to pass up. So if you play on Wednesday, because the schedule's all, I mean, it's wonky, right? Nobody ever plays on a Wednesday. So now the way they're going to do it is the teams that play on Wednesday have to play on Saturday. So they'll have a short week before, and then they'll have a real short week from Saturday to Wednesday, like a normal Sunday to Thursday game. It's just really hard, especially that late in the season, but the money's too great. The NFL says we're going to do it. So if they're going to play Wednesday, that means no matter when Christmas is, they're going to play on Christmas.
Yeah. But on the back end, though, you'll have a nice break after you get done on Wednesday. You won't play again until the following Sunday.
So theoretically.
So what's going to happen then? So if there's two games, then you have to, it's going to be the same four teams playing on Saturday. So with the two teams that play each other on Saturday, and then, you know what I mean? It'd be the same four
well, I
teams,
think it's,
right?
I think it's actually six teams on Saturday. There's three games on Saturday. So then that gives you more scenarios to match those other two games. But
gotcha. All right.
But it's probably, I mean, it feels like it makes sense to have division games, right? Because then let's say you play the AFC North, they all play on Saturday. Then you can all play them on Wednesday and just flip the opponent. And it's not, the competitive balance isn't that big a deal because you're all in the same division. You're playing division opponents. The preparation doesn't have to be as great. So I would not be shocked at all if you saw a division. I'm not saying it'll be the North, but you saw one division play both those games.
Yeah, I know exactly. I just feel like the NFC East would be the first division that they would throw out there always, right?
I thought the same thing, Chad. The AFC North is a good real good division, and it's got some attraction to it. And then immediately I thought, well, NFC East always trumps it.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. All right, some other Browns news. Not a surprise. The old kicker is back. York is back.
Hey, I don't know. I think it kind of is a surprise, buddy.
Do you?
I got the text. I was at a fantasy baseball draft. I got a text saying, I'm like, what the? I get it. Like, and you're probably going to say the same thing. Why you don't think it's a surprise? The Browns don't give up on their draft picks. They took him really high. If you have a chance to salvage his career, you try to do that. So I understand that perspective, and that's exactly why they did it. What I'm surprised by is Cade York left here in a huff because he was mad that he got cut. They wanted to bring him back on the practice squad last year, and he said no, and he chose Tennessee. I'm a little surprised that his ego allowed him to come back.
Well, time heals all wounds, right? I mean, got to get a job.
Right.
So I don't know.
I think he looks at it like, hey, these guys really had faith in me when they drafted me. And maybe this is the best place for me.
Yeah. And your point, what you said is exactly what I was thinking. So, yeah, spot on as far as the Browns wanting to bring him back. So, what's going on, Nick Chubb, Watson-wise?
Yeah, we'll start with Watson. He started to throw last week out in L.A. You know, he's doing the rehab, and that's a milestone. I'm sure he's not throwing it 100%, obviously, right? He's just over 4 months after the surgery. I haven't seen any social media of him zipping it around, which probably means it's still in the early stages, or it does mean it's in the early stages. But the Browns remain confident that he's going to be able to participate in not only the offseason program, but the OTAs, and throw the ball. And they sent their head athletic trainer, Joe Sheehan, out there to watch him throw. So, you know, the reports continue to be optimistic. Now, you know, we're probably looking at mid to end of May when we'll get to see a practice. And that's when I'll get to see how it looks coming, how the ball looks coming out of his hand. You know, and that's not going to be the end all be all, because even then there's, you know, another 3.5 months to the season. But it's so important, right? This is self-explanatory. Quarterback needs to throw an unusual surgery, major surgery. It's all going to be about where Deshaun Watson's arm and throwing ability and comfortability and lack of pain, where that is as we progress through the offseason and into week one.
All right.
Chubb. Yeah, he's working out. He's in the facility every day. Kevin Stefanski says he sees him every day. You know, we all know he's rehabbing incredibly hard and working hard. That's just who Nick Chubb is. Andrew Berry, the GM, said, we don't know right now. We can't predict right now when Nick Chubb will be able to return. And if that is there a chance for that to be week one or not, because he's not doing football stuff, right? Yes, he's running some, but it's not the same intensity. It's not agility drills. And Berry said by the draft, which is a month from now, he thinks he'll have a better idea, but really it'll play out over the next 2 to 3 months. So, you know, right around the end of minicamp, and, you know, he's not going to participate in the minicamps, but right around the end of minicamp is when the Browns should have a good idea if there's a chance that Chubb can return week one or how he'll look. So we're still a ways away from knowing just how much he'll be able to contribute and when.
Scott, I guess I forgot or didn't know. I know that we talk fantasy football all the time. I didn't realize you were in a fantasy baseball league.
It's been a while. It's my uncle's NASA league. Shout out to anybody who listens to this. And I'm partners with one of my other uncles. And I got to be honest, Chuck, like I do about an hour worth of research and let the other uncle run the team, because there's just too much. It's daily moves. You got to set when he goes on vacation and leaves me in charge. It's so stressful. So I just throw my money and hope to collect. And then there's usually a poker game after the draft. So I like that part of it.
How'd that go?
I won the first game.
You won the poker game?
I did.
Nice. Nicely done. Wow, I love poker, man. Yeah. Yeah, I did fantasy baseball forever. I mean, pretty much from when it started becoming popular. And so just a couple years ago, I had to give something up. Something had to give time-wise. It's so time-consuming.
It really is. I mean, the research would be one thing, right? If the preparation, you could do that. You could study for however many days, look through all the stuff you need to look through. But it's the daily lineup, setting your lineup and make sure this guy's playing and not hurt and no rainouts. And it's really a grind.
Yeah, it affects my knowledge though, because one thing about fantasy, it keeps you into it more. Besides just the Guardians, but hey, we're taping this on Thursday. Guardians open their season tonight, and then we're gonna take next week off, right? And then we'll bounce back. We'll catch up the week after, and by that point, Scott, we'll have a solar eclipse and a Guardians home opener.
How about that? Yeah, and then we can turn our attention to the draft. But that solar eclipse. I'm looking forward to that solar eclipse.
Are you?
I don't know anything about it. I don't know anything about anything. But I was talking to a guy the other day who said if the forecast is for cloudy here, I mean, he lives here. If the forecast is for cloudy, he's going to drive somewhere where it's not going to be cloudy, because he's seen the eclipse before, and he says it's the best thing he's ever seen.
Yeah, see, we did a story on that on Go, and Austin Love did a story with this guy, and he said it, like, changed his life. It's like a life-changing experience.
Yeah. So it must be worth it.
Yeah, I guess. My kids were testing out their glasses the other day, so, you know, got to be prepared for it. Yep. But cheap plug, we're actually – so, Scott, that will be that morning – I'll be on in the AM, you know, for our regular morning show. Then we'll come back in the afternoon on Channel 3. We're doing a special from 2 to 4. Now, ready for the name of this?
Uh-huh.
Because the Guardians game is on Channel 3.
Right.
All right. So we're going to do it's a combination of the solar eclipse happening at that time, along with pregame. Total eclipse of the park.
Yeah, that's pretty clever. Little shout out to, is that Bonnie Tyler? A little total eclipse of the heart?
Yeah, there you go. That's exactly it.
Yeah.
So, nice. Yeah, that's going to be a wild day. No question. So, a lot's going to happen here before we talk again. So good that we got this in here this week. And had a feeling there'd be some stadium buzz, and indeed there was. So, and then we'll be able to talk about that Brazil situation probably next time we talk. And like you said, talk draft. I mean, boy, we're getting close to that now, right?
Yeah,
under a month.
Yeah, under a month. I think it's April 25th it starts. Obviously, the Browns don't have a pick that first day. It's 25th, 6th, and 7th. So less than a month. I get to work on my pre-draft plan, all of that. So, yeah, you know how it goes. There's always something going on, but that'll be that feels like the next big milestone for us. So,
yeah, no doubt. Hey, where is it at again? I forget.
Detroit,
that's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Man, Detroit, man, after what the Lions did last year and then – hey, you know, give the NFL credit. I don't know if we ever followed this up, but remember we talked about last year when the schedule came out. Give the NFL credit. They put the Lions in that Thursday night game against the Chiefs to showcase them, and they ended up going to the NFC Championship game.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. That's a real good point. I wonder who's going to get – I haven't paid it or dug deep enough, but obviously the Chiefs are hosting again. You know, I wonder who they're going to get week one.
Yeah,
you know?
So I remember retweeting this, and I had it in my mind down to two teams, and one of them I thought could be the Chargers, Harbaugh.
Oh,
showcase Harbaugh, and you know you could talk up that storyline, and the other one I think the Ravens.
Okay.
You could do the AFC Championship rematch.
Yep.
And this is one I have high up there is the Bengals and Burrow, because they're the team they struggle with, right?
Yeah. Those will all be really good.
Yeah, I think the Ravens are on their schedule. I know for sure, obviously, the Chargers are, and I know the Bengals are. But my three.
Yeah, they play the Ravens for sure.
Because
the Kansas City's here, they play the division. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So those are my top three, and I could see a case for all three of those. I'd be surprised if it's not one of those three, but I don't know. We'll see. Like you always say, we've been wrong before, and we'll be wrong again.
No, but those are really good picks. The Chargers game kind of feels like the easiest of those for the Chiefs. But there's a ton there: Herbert and Harbaugh, and division game. Yeah, that'll be interesting.
I'd like to see – I just always – the Burrow versus the Chiefs is always outstanding television and drama, I think.
Sure, he's coming back from the injury, all of it, yeah.
Yeah, so it'll be good. But anyway, all right, well, we'll talk again soon, and good to catch up here again this week.
Yep, I appreciate it as always, Chug, fitting this in. I know you got a lot of stuff going on. Thanks, everybody, for listening. This has been another episode of the Zone Coverage Podcast, and you could read all my work at brownzone.com. Thanks.